revelation. 1 Samuel chapter 2, text number 20. Thus established in a mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. I'm going to repeat that. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness. The man whose mind has been delivered, been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord, gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from material association. Purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada said anyone can translate, but the purports are his personal ecstasies. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is said that out of many thousands of ordinary men, one fortunate man endeavors for perfection in life. Who knows that verse? Loud, you say loud. And book distribution is a good way to realize that verse fully. Right? Because out of how many pass you every hour on Oxford Street? 10,000 people an hour. How many take this, even notice the devotee here? But still it adds up. It's Krishna's always trying to help everybody. Mostly men are conducted by the mode of passion and ignorance. And thus they are engaged always in lust, desire, hankering, ignorance, and sleep. Out of many such man-like animals, there is actually a man who knows the responsibility of human life and thus tries to make life perfect by following the prescribed duties. And out of many thousands of such persons who have thus attained success in human life, one may know scientifically about the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita 18:55, it is also said that scientific knowledge of Krishna is understood only by a person in devotional service, bhakti yoga. Who knows that? Bhakti mama vijana tiyamanya sattva tatvata. I don't know the rest, but anyway, Krishna does say that quite a few times. So devotees are very rare. In this room we have so many people who are at that stage or serving Krishna. But it's a small percentage of the, it looks like a lot to us. Even later today you'll see so many people, and so all of them have come to a very high stage to even come to the temple. I want to do any kind of contact with Krishna, but it's still a small percentage of the population, so we have a lot of work to do. The very same thing is confirmed herein by the words, in the above words. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection in human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. As soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankering and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance, or in other words, when one is actually a brahmana by qualification. A brahmana is a symbol of sattva guna, or the mode of goodness. and others who are not in the mode of goodness are either Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, or less than the Shudras. The Brahmana stage is the highest stage of human life because it is good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a Brahmana. The devotee is already a Brahmana by action, but that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a Brahmana has to become a Vaishnava, in fact, to be actually on the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a Brahmana. In the material stage, even the Brahmana is also conducted a conditioned soul, because although in the brahminical stage the conception of Brahmana, of Brahman or transcendence is realized, scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lacking. One has to surpass the brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage to understand the personality of Godhead. The science of the personality of Godhead is the subject matter for study by the postgraduate students of the spiritual line. Foolish men or men of the poor fund of knowledge do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims. In fact, however, that the one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a Brahmana. When a qualified Brahmana factually becomes a Vaishnava in the enlivened state of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead. Om Agana Chinirangasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chatsura Militanyena Tasvai Shri Hidravena Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Hidravena Namayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Jivta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shivam Sajjatam Sagana Radhanatam Vidam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sarita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Vansha Kampa Truvyascha Kripat Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Krishna Tudiya Padapanka Japam Jarantam Adhyayvame Visatu Marasaraja Hansam Prana Prayama Samayeka Pavata Pittaye Kantavaro Danvido Smaranam Kutaste. The Vaishnava is called Dvijashesha, best of all the Brahmanas. Brahmanas are often, of course, not genuine Brahmanas, but it's what they're really proud of their being Brahmins. And in Kali Yuga, the first corruption was the Brahmanas, and then they established this idea that it's only by birth you can be a Brahmana, and all these false ideas. And then they themselves become not really Brahmanas, but they think it doesn't matter how you act. It's what your name is, you know, how you were born. And Prabhupada smashes that over and over again. Lord Chaitanya smashed that. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati especially attacked that. He was called one time to speak at some kind of Brahmin convention to glorify the Brahmanas. And his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, had been asking. He was ill, so he sent his son, who wrote a big paper, and he started out and he was quoting so much Shastra, the glories of the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas would become very happy. They were hearing things they never themselves even heard, because he was such a scholar. So after they become very, very happy, then he started to quote the Shastras about that the Vaishnavas were superior to the Brahmanas. and the Brahmanas were not so happy, but the rest of the people were very happy. And he established, you know, completely without a doubt, based on scripture, that the Vaishnavas, that means a real Vaishnava, of course, because the Vaishnava is absorbed in Brahman, he's always serving Krishna, and he's the one that really knows Krishna as a person. Not just a Gyani or something, but he knows Krishna as a person. That's the scientific knowledge, and that doesn't require scholarship or anything like that. Someone can be a great Vaishnava and better than any Brahmin, but they just know that everything belongs to Krishna and they're doing everything for Krishna. That's a Vaishnava. And they're feeling compassion for all the conditioned souls. It's very rare, but the Lord Chaitanya is very, very kind and he's working to increase the number of Brahmins. I think the stories of Gautama Rishi, and that was in very early previous ages. One boy approached him and wanted to become his disciple. And he said, well, I only teach Brahmanas, so what is your... I don't think he said caste in those days, but what is your varna, right? So he said, I don't know. I don't know, you know, my father. I don't know where I come from. So he said, ask your mother. So he went to the mother, and the mother was a maidservant woman. She said, I don't even know who your father was. There was many men. So the boy went back to Gautama Rishi and said, my mother doesn't know either. I'm, you know, an illicit child. So Gautama Rishi said, you're a Brahmin. I accept you because you're honest. That's the quality you're looking for. Honesty. Brahman is very honest. The Prabhupada said, even if a thief comes and says, where's your money? I'll tell him. I don't know if we would do that. Honest. Straightforward. That's a real Brahman. Then a real Brahman is a Vaishnava. That's a Jujashista. So Prabhupada wanted to create Brahmanas. That's what our temples are meant for, our society. People who can practice and teach about Krishna and Bhakti Yoga, which is a real Brahminical platform. Vasudev Sattva, or Vasudev Sattva, pure goodness. Otherwise, in the material world, everything is mixed up. And basically, we find only passion and ignorance. We see people working very hard to make money, right? To build skyscraper buildings or space shuttles and, you know, all kinds of passionate things. Fast cars, comfortable cars, and to disturb the minds of everybody, to provoke them, us to think that there's so many things we need that we don't really need, right? I read once that the owner of Harrods, he said the only thing they sell that anybody needs is a nappies. Everything else they have to convince, they have to advertise and provoke, you know, agitation in the mind to get people. But they're in there shopping like crazy, right? Buying all kinds of trinket jewelry and haircuts and perfume. This guy is selling the perfume down there to one of the busiest places. Whatever that perfume is, you know. Because people think that's going to make their body more attractive. So that's the modes of passion. And then when they get their money, what do? They go to the pubs. They take shelter in the mode of ignorance. Japan is a perfect example. They're really passionate. And then it's part of the job to go out and get drunk. You know, go with the factory workers are supposed to go together for camaraderie and the different levels of people, they go together. Sometimes the boss takes out the lower workers, you know, to keep them friendly and drunk, you know, keep them happy. So they're working for what purpose? Is to get more in the mode of ignorance, not much for the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is most people can't even tolerate. So, atmosphere and the mode of goodness. So if we go to these nice holiday places and the beautiful beaches, you'll see them out there with some stupid novel and a can of beer and cigarettes, and, you know, on the nice beach or in the mountain somewhere. They have to bring that tamaguna with them. And the, like in Bali, such a beautiful place that, you know, it's tourist oriented, so you can buy any DVD movie there for about 50p or something, you know, about a US dollar. And they go and they buy, like, you know, this many, and then they go in the hotel room and watch movies. And they sit on the beach for a little while. But while they're there, they're drinking beer and, you know, eating all kinds of abominable things. And they call it heaven, you know, food of the gods. So we are trying to elevate ourselves and as many people as possible to the brahminical, the real brahminical stage, which is absorbed in Brahman, serving Krishna, chanting the holy name of Krishna, distributing the holy name of Krishna, which is, you know, very wonderful. Yesterday, these Pandavasena were out and chanting, and so many people, they would just stop just to listen to the kirtan. They would say, oh, it's so nice, I like that music so much. So they're getting elevated, they're hearing the transcendental sound. They don't even know what it is, but they automatically charms everybody. So devotees, that's brahminical, giving. Brahman is charitable. He wants to share, he wants to give everybody Krishna. So Prabhupada wanted very much to create brahmanas that can worship the deity and distribute the spiritual food, you know, cooked in with devotion, with love for Krishna, and that means love for everybody. Even there's a new restaurant around over here behind the Soho Square. It says they have a sign how their food is prepared with love, and that's the most important ingredient. I don't know, love for what though? But people know that, you know, like that's why your mother's cooking is supposed to be the best for you, most healthy. Because your mother loves you. Generally, when the mother's cooking, you know, it's out of love for the children. And that goes in, and then it's very nice. And the wife's cooking is supposed to be, of course, the temple cooking should be the best, because it's cooked with love for Krishna. That's a brahmana. And, you know, we know the activities of giving charity, accepting charity, studying the Vedas, teaching the Vedas. That's the brahmana activities. They're religious and honest and truthful and pure and clean. And these are all the things we're supposed to be. Sometimes I've seen in some temples that someone wants to get the second initiation. They think it's some sort of a prestige or something. You know, someone else, oh, why don't you have your second initiation? But it's meant for a purpose, that we qualify and then we serve the deities, and we teach, we make arrangements to give Krishna to as many people as possible. So these things are confirmed throughout the Bhagavad Gita, that only by devotional service, and throughout the Bhagavatam, and it, you know, Bhakti Yoga Prayavasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayogita. Even by a little bit of devotional service, and automatically knowledge and renunciation come about. So Lord Chaitanya was very kind to make devotional service so accessible to everyone by distributing the holy name Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in Navadvipa, he was personally going with the devotees every day and chanting the holy name, going everywhere, all over, you know, early in the morning, Udilavarana Puda Bhavadi, and the sun is rising, they're going out with the Harinam party. In India, the people like to go in the villages. We had in Fiji, the neighbor was not a devotee. He was very envious of the devotee who built a temple. He was the next biggest businessman or something. And so he made some, you know, petition to the government that the temple should not open until 8 o'clock in the morning, like all other businesses. And Mangalarthik was just a big disturbance. And that was just Mangalarthik, but he could hear it in his house. So we went around, and all the other neighbors said, no, I think it's very good. It wakes me up early in the morning. It makes me think of God and everything. So finally, I think one other devotee traded houses with him. They had a house far away. His son is now the president of the Dallas Temple, because they would hear the kirtan all the time. The grad, I think his daughter was hiding in the closet chanting japa. So the kirtan purifies everyone. A few demons, they don't like it. Arjuna says that the world becomes joyful in hearing the holy name, but the demons flee. And also books, when we distribute books and we're giving knowledge. And I was just met one boy here a few days ago, and he looked so happy. So he said he first contacted devotee in the street. He was attracted to them, and then, you know, heard a little bit. He read the Science of Self-Realization, you know, and then he thought, yeah, this is right on. And then he came to the temple, and now he's reading Bhagavad Gita, and, you know, he's just so happy. So that's happening, you know, all over the world, and we don't know how many people are becoming enlightened. And when we're out chanting or distributing books, and many people have books and they remember devotees from years ago or whatever, and then they're reminded, and they're very happy to be reminded again and know where the temple is, because, you know, the modes of nature are working them over very heavily. They have to work just to live. You know, just to have a basic life, most people have to work very hard. So they need the mercy of devotees. And that's the Brahmana. He's supposed to be very kind, very compassionate. And Vaishnava is most compassionate. That's our most important mood, compassion. Bhagavatam is saying that without compassion, we don't go to the spiritual world. It's in order to get out from the material world, it's compassion. You have to feel something for other people's suffering. Bhaktivinoda, in that one song, Amara Jivana, he's saying, taking the role of a common man. So he said, when I see others suffering, then I become very happy. You know, that's like the common man. They like to watch all the news of all the tragedies that are going on, and, you know, movies of disasters, and feel like, oh yeah, my life's not so bad, you know, I'm lucky. God has blessed me. God bless America. Okay. After that 9/11, you know, so many people got rich selling little buttons and flags that said, God bless America. They were all over the place, right? Big signboards. And I was thinking, what about the rest of the world? Yeah. And actually, our Gauravani, one of the older Guru Kulis, he has a band, and he had a song like that, God bless America. What about the rest of the world? You know, why don't we care about anyone? Because their idea of blessing America was that, you know, we could eliminate Afghanistan at that time, and then everything will be all right, right? But it doesn't work. The modes of passion are still there. So a devotee is concerned about everyone. And the activities of devotees are beneficial to everyone. The sound of the holy name is purifying the whole atmosphere of the ether, which is very contaminated in Kali Yuga with all the, you know, the different, you know, salesmen are blasting away, and all the, what to speak of, all the radio and internet and wireless things zapping everywhere. So the ether is very, very, you know, contaminated. But even a little Hare Krishna has a huge effect to purify it. That sound, you know, stays in the atmosphere. So the more we chant anywhere and everywhere, it's affecting the whole planet, uplifting the people, giving them a chance, you know, to live properly. They want a healthy environment, and they do small things, and it's all right, but everything is good. But the best thing anyone can do is chant the holy name and learn to offer everything to Krishna. Because when you're offering everything to Krishna, you have to offer nice things. You're not going to offer meat and eggs and, you know, nasty things, whiskey. People get purified when their Vaishnavas automatically come beyond the mode of goodness. So in normal life, the Brahman, and Brahman is good, the real Brahmana is good, and there are even still in India people born in Brahman families that are really brahminical. Their life is very, very nice. But the Sankirtan movement is making more and more Brahmanas and more people living a really good life and worshipping the deity and offering everything to Krishna and making arrangements to give Krishna as best as we can. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the best way to give it, or the Bhagavad Gita, or any of our books, and to give kirtan. Let people, you know, hear the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And all over the world, all the time, there's somebody. When we go to the Sankirtan festival there in Germany, in New Year's time, they have one light that flashes like every 8 seconds or something. And that means that's the average of how often a book somewhere is being distributed. You know, it was on Dandavas for a little while, that thing was flashing. So somewhere, at any moment, you know, somebody's having Mangalarti, somebody's offering, somebody's distributing a book, somebody's doing Harinam, because, you know, somewhere in the world the sun is coming up, somewhere it's going down, somewhere the day is starting for the devotees. And so all these things are Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Lord Nityananda is even more merciful. He's called Akrodha Paramananda. He's a supreme bliss who never gets angry. Even he's insulted, even he's physically attacked by atheists. You know, he just remains blissful and all-forgiving and kind. And when the Jagai and Madai, especially Jagai, Madai was a little worse, I guess. But when Jagai saw that Lord Nityananda was still begging for Lord Chaitanya to be kind to them, even though they hit him over the head, he changed. He thought, wow, what kind of person is this? How could anyone be like that? To be, you know, forgiving us, or even though we tried to kill him. And then they changed. And then Lord Chaitanya benedicted Jagai. And then Madai got envious. He said, what about me? He said, you know, what about me? Why don't you give me the mercy? And he said, I can't give you, you've offended Lord Nityananda, so you have to approach him. And then he did, and Lord Nityananda, of course, embraced him, and then they both became great devotees. And Lord Chaitanya told everyone, now, no one should ever think about or mention their previous life, now they've become devotees. And they had such a kirtan, because Lord Chaitanya had absorbed all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai. He turned black color. And he asked Advaita, how do I look? And he said, they look like Krishna. He said, so we'll have a big kirtan, and then I will transfer all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai to people who blaspheme devotees and criticize devotees. So they had a huge kirtan. It was like those, what do they call those? Concerts where everybody smashes into each other all the time. You know, they...
Mosh, mosh.
And they, what do they call it? Mosh, mosh.
Mosh.
Mosh. So they were dancing like that. And even sometimes Jagai and Madai would smash into Lord Chaitanya and fall on the ground. And, you know, it was just completely wild. And Yamaraj, you know, he heard about it. That Jagai and Madai had become devotees, and previously all his secretaries had been complaining to him about how sinful these men were and how they couldn't keep track. You know, there's so many people writing. So he ran quickly on his chariot and he saw this kirtan, and he saw Jagai and Madai in ecstasy in the kirtan, and he fell unconscious, flat on the ground. smashed his helmet and broke his jewelry, and then the other demigods had to start a kirtan, and then Yamaraj started dancing. I don't know if they were visible to everyone else, if they were in heaven or whatever, but he was just amazed at the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And now it's even more, Prabhupada said that in those days there was just a two Jagai in Madhav, but now everyone. He actually said, I'm not bragging. He said, but all my disciples are Jagai and Madhav. But it's Lord Nityananda's mercy is still going. So we don't discriminate, you know, what kind of people. There's so many different people from all different classes of men. We have one homeless guy that comes here every day, just so devotional. Lunchtime, found his way over to. He's not coming just to eat. He really likes the whole atmosphere. So by material calculations, he's not in a very high position, but spiritually, he becomes very exalted by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So I'm happy to see all the devotees here today. Yesterday was so many giving out the mercy of Lord Nityananda. 34. So let's stop. Any question or comment? Yes, sir.
You mentioned the fact that all those sinful reactions will be passed to the people who bless them to the devotees.
Yeah.
Of Jagai and Madhai. So, could you describe what actually this blessing involves?
The what?
What this blessing may he comprises of?
Blessing means just. Well, really, blasphemy is saying things that aren't true, you know, but just focusing on criticizing devotees. And many times, blasphemers, they pick up on a little bit of the truth, and then they just build up all kinds of stories and say, okay. So when devotees are being criticized, Krishna leaves and doesn't like them. So the people who criticize devotees suffer automatically. But then they blame the devotees that they're criticizing for their suffering, and usually they start criticizing even more, and then they suffer more. You know, and they can't understand. So, Lord Chaitanya was just warning us, you know, don't criticize devotees. It's the first offense to the holy name. So, it doesn't help that we can't chant when we're absorbed in criticizing. We may have to point out defects sometimes, and that's bona fide to do it in a constructive way. But to just criticize, to try to make myself better, you know, say something bad about you so that I think another makes me look better. And Krishna doesn't like that. He means that when there's glorification of devotees, Krishna likes that. Lord Chaitanya would glorify devotees like he had 5 mouths. Right?
Yeah. When you look at the life of Jayananda, for instance, there was an incident where there was one drunken madman who was constantly accosting the Harinam in San Francisco. You know, this Lila. And he would shout and scream and insult and curse and get in the way and get in Jayananda's face who was leading the kirtan. And finally, after this went on for ages, he said, if you continue doing this, Krishna's going to kill you. And literally, moments later, the devotees turned, and there was this some sort of, I don't know what you call it, yoga maya almost. The man was hit by a bus moments later. And it didn't say whether he died or not, but I think it's also maybe worth noting that sometimes when Krishna gives us these reactions, and he's obviously taking his next birth, but he's probably going to have a better birth.
He came of his
birth.
Sorry? And he's thinking of Krishna.
Yeah, he's thinking about the devotees. The last thing he saw in the moment of his death was a giant on his face. It's a pretty auspicious birth.
I asked one devotee, Gargamuni, once about Jayananda. And Gargamuni is expert to criticize. Sometimes it seems like that's all he knows. But he started talking about Jayananda. One of the things he says, he never criticized anyone. He stressed that. Although he was very strict also. But, you know, who lived in the ashram, and if somebody was really, you know, wouldn't give up their sinful activities or something, but they wouldn't be, he would somehow remove them in such a nice way, and, you know, in a loving way. And they said whenever there was a conflict with devotees, they just put him in the middle, and after a few minutes they wouldn't be conflicting anymore. They would just be charmed by his smile. He's a good example anyway. He said whenever there was, if he was with a group of devotees and the mood shifted to criticizing devotees, he would just take his tea bag and walk away. Okay. So practice the defense, glorify devotees. You know, find some devotees that you can speak nicely about. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.